Welcome to Crossroads. The steel industry is facing too much supply and tumbling prices. Now look, much of this problem is coming from China, where the CCP's policies have led to overcapacity. And facing this problem, the United States has placed tariffs on Chinese goods, including steel and aluminum, which the Chinese Communist Party has in turn tried to get around by using Mexico as a waypoint into the U.S. market. But the U.S. is now looking to close this loophole that the Chinese Communist Party is using on steel. In fact, last month, U.S. President Biden and Mexican President López Obrador announced in a joint statement that they are taking key measures to protect the North American steel and aluminum markets from unfair trade practices. Now look, these key measures include improving the transparency of the origin of its imports, with Mexico requiring importers to provide more information about the country of origin of steel products. And not only that, the United States will implement melt and pour and smelt and cast requirements, respectively, for certain steel and aluminum imports from Mexico in order for those steel and aluminum imports to enter the United States tariff-free. Now, there's a bit more on this from the Epoch Times. They say that estimates suggest that 3.8 million tons of steel arrived in the United States from Mexico in 2023. 87% of the steel is melted and poured in North America, although 13% is melted and poured outside the United States, Canada, and Mexico, which is the main concern among these officials. Now, Leo Brennard, the director of the National Economic Council, said in a press call that, quote, "These actions fix a major loophole," adding that countries like China are using it to avoid U.S. tariffs by shipping their products through Mexico. And added, quote, "China is simply too big to play by its own rules." Now, you might remember why President Biden put tariffs on Chinese steel in the first place, and this goes back to May 14th. White House said in a statement that President Biden says, "American workers and businesses can outcompete anyone as long as they have fair competition. But for too long, China's government has used unfair, non-market practices," and notes that China's forced technology transfer, meaning they steal our intellectual property, and also intellectual property theft, have contributed to its control of 70, 80, and even 90% of global production for the critical inputs necessary for our technologies, infrastructure, energy, and healthcare, creating unacceptable risks to American supply chains and economic security. In other words, the CCP has rigged the game in its favor, and by cheating, by stealing, they then created monopolies on some of the key industries feeding into the surface industries. The CCP got there using theft, essentially, and after doing so, then undercut all the competition, put a lot of them out of business, and now they control that. The U.S. and other countries are now pushing back on this. Notably, a lot of this also started under Trump, where he was talking about American steel, right? This has now continued. The White House adds that furthermore, these same non-market policies and practices contribute to China's growing overcapacity and export surges that threaten to significantly harm American workers, businesses, and communities. Further, when they state that to encourage China to eliminate its unfair trade practices regarding technology transfer, in other words, they steal it, they reverse engineer it or whatever else, and then build it domestically. Also, intellectual property and innovation. They say the president, Biden, is directing increases in tariffs across strategic sectors such as steel and aluminum, semiconductors, electric vehicles, batteries, critical minerals, solar cells, ship-to-shore cranes, and medical products. Now, they also note that there's unfair practices when it comes to overcapacity. And the CCP, by overproducing certain materials, really because they were anticipating dominating a lot of these surface markets, they have too much of it on store. And what that has done is it's caused, of course, a type of, again, monopoly on the global market, where the CCP, having too much, is dumping these onto the market, driving prices down. And if they allow this to take place, it will put a lot of American and European and other countries, you know, manufacturing the same products out of business. Steel and aluminum are two of the big ones here. Because remember as well, steel and aluminum, you know, you don't have steel beams just sitting on your shelf, right? These tend to be products that are used for the production of other things. They're within the supply chains. And so if you control the materials that are needed to construct these surface-level goods, then you control the surface-level markets. The Chinese Communist Party has been trying to do this. The U.S. and other countries are pushing back on it. Now, it also adds that China's policies and subsidies for their domestic steel and aluminum industries mean high-quality, low-emission U.S. products are undercut by artificially low-priced Chinese alternatives produced with higher emissions. Remember, they're tying a lot of this to global warming and stuff. Now, notably as well, when they talk about the CCP subsidizing these products, that's a whole other issue that's important here. Because unlike a lot of other companies within the free market, China, being a communist country, tends to subsidize a lot of these products. Most of these businesses have a kind of public-private relationship with the CCP. The CCP controls oftentimes their shares to a certain extent, meaning they're at least partially government-owned. And because they get money from the government, they don't need to fairly compete in the actual, you know, free market capitalist market. Meaning they can charge below cost oftentimes, which then means that companies in the US or Europe or elsewhere, they can't compete on it. What the CCP does is it cuts costs so low that nobody else can compete, puts all their competition out of business, steals their innovation and so on, feeds it into its markets, and then uses that to just put everyone else out of business. It creates monopolies, and then once it controls the market, it then uses that, one, to, again, raise prices, because then there's no one to challenge them, but also is a way to even, you know, carry out diplomacy with other countries, threatening to cut them off from some of these materials if they say things the CCP doesn't like. And so business on this level is not just purely business for the CCP. Business is also political. Now, what's also interesting about this is it doesn't just point to overcapacity, having too much on store. Instead, it points to the overall problems with the CCP's unfair trade practices. Now, with all these in place, the CCP has been using various methods to try and get around these tariffs, right? Because the United States, as we just mentioned, has tried putting a stop to these types of practices of the Chinese Communist Party. On the semiconductors, then, the Chinese Communist Party has established an entire supply chain to get around the tariffs. And with steel in particular, it's the same thing. With this, that's where Mexico comes into play. Because remember, right, in that joint statement between the US and Mexico, if steel companies want to avoid tariffs on their products that are coming through Mexico, they have to prove the origin of the products now. Meaning, again, what they're essentially doing is this. They're having it so that if, you know, you want to sell steel through Mexico, you now have to verify it was actually smelted and everything else in Mexico. Meaning Mexico can't just import it from China or other countries and then sell it into the US if they want to do it without having tariffs. Because Mexico is one of the countries that has an exemption from those tariffs. The CCP then takes advantage of that, right? And so in order to close that loophole, the US and Mexico are agreeing to have it where, hey, you want to get around this, we have to prove that you actually smelted it, that it actually came from you. Now, BBC had a bit more on this. They said the measures expand protections for U.S. steel and aluminum makers that were launched under Mr. Trump in 2018 in the name of national security. Remember, Donald Trump was talking about American steel, right? They note the tariffs that Trump put in place set a 25% tax on steel and 10% tax on aluminum imports, and they were controversial, sparking trade battles with countries all around the world. They note that Mexico, one of America's largest trade partners, was among the countries to eventually win an exemption from the rules. And the White House said it decided to revisit the exemption from Mexico as an increase of imports from the country suggested it was being used as a stopping point to bypass the taxes. And it's only about 13% of the steel imported from Mexico last year, and only 6% of aluminum originated from outside of North America, according to officials. But officials said the rules were aimed at heading off a further increase as China's flagging domestic economy leads firms to look abroad. In other words, the amount of steel and aluminum coming from China through Mexico, it's technically not the majority. It's still a lot. But they're concerned that because the CCP has an issue of overcapacity right now, that it would increase that and use that, of course, as a way to bypass the tariffs and the taxes. Now, on this as well, the CCP's unfair trade practices and its use of loopholes to get around tariffs are actually causing some really serious concerns for the industry overall. I'll be talking about this after I come back from a quick break.
Experts agree. One of the best ways to protect against financial uncertainty is to diversify your portfolio. Learn how physical gold and silver can secure your retirement funds from today's economic challenges with a gold IRA from American Hartford Gold. You can safeguard your wealth with no penalties or taxes when you transfer your current qualifying retirement accounts. Call now and our precious metals specialists will send you a free information kit, no cost or obligation. American Hartford Gold, a trusted industry leader with an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau, has a 5-star rating from thousands of happy clients. Whether you are getting physical precious metals in a gold IRA or delivered to your doorstep, we offer only the highest quality gold and silver. For your peace of mind, we also offer a no-fee buyback commitment, a low-price guarantee, along with free shipping and free insurance. So, don't wait. Call the number on your screen today and secure your financial future.
Welcome back. The Chinese Communist Party is breaking the steel industry. Now, this is through its unfair trade practices and its policies that have led to overcapacity. They made too much of it. And facing this problem, well, the United States has placed tariffs on steel and aluminum that the Chinese Communist Party is in turn trying to get around by trying to use Mexico as a waypoint into the U.S. market because Mexico was given an exemption on this. And the U.S. was revisiting that exemption, meaning they might take it away unless Mexico takes actions to stop that from happening. Now, the CCP's unfair trade practices and its use of loopholes to get around tariffs are actually causing some really serious issues for the market. Reuters said this. They said the price of iron ore has dropped for a sixth consecutive week as China's steel sector continues to struggle and port inventories of the raw material stop rising. They note that it appears that steel mills and traders have taken advantage of the declining trend in iron ore prices to restore inventories, but now that they are at a relatively high levels, the question is whether there is any appetite to continue adding to them. Now, here's a bit more. Business Standard said this. They say steel producers in the United States and Europe are being squeezed between a fresh wave of cheap imports and anemic demand that's pushing prices lower. So in other words, you have a lot of supply and not a lot of demand. And what does that mean? It means prices fall through the floor. And what happens if prices fall through the floor? Companies go out of business. So what do you do? Well, the Chinese Communist Party's businesses don't need to make a profit. They're state subsidized. They don't need to make money. They can put all their competition out of business, and it's good for them in the long run, because once prices go up, they then dominate the entire market. So to protect American businesses from going out of business, they then have to stop the CCP from dumping these products. Now, they note as well, the company cut its forecast for apparent consumption of steel outside of China, a key barometer of the world economy. And it really is a barometer of the world economy because, remember, steel, again, it's used for, again, building buildings, for building cars, for building all kinds of things. And if there's lower demand for that, it means that the production of the surface-level goods is lower because they don't need as much of it. This shows, to an extent, the state of the entire global market, in other words. Now, they also note that China's excess production relative to demand is resulting in very low domestic steel spreads and aggressive exports. Steel prices in both Europe and U.S. are below the marginal cost. Now, it should also be noted that on the side of the Chinese Communist Party, this is not a sign of power. It's not that their steel industries are necessarily doing well, right? They're trying to dump on our markets and so on. This is a sign of trouble in their industries as well, right? This not only ties again to their fading real estate industry, which uses steel, which also again needs that for construction. It ties in with the problem of overcapacity and the ripple effect that's now having through the metals industry. That includes nickel and copper and many others. The steel issue is just one of many within the entire metals industry. And remember, if the entire metals industry is having this problem, that means that the surface production is having problems as well. Bloomberg noted, copper and nickel made in China flooded overseas into warehouses tracked by the London Metal Exchange last month, as tepid domestic demand triggers a wave of exports that has weighed on global prices. Remember, tepid domestic demand, meaning the CCP doesn't need them as much. Businesses within China don't need them as much. And what does it tell you? If locally within China, they don't need as much steel, they don't need as much aluminum, they don't need as much copper or anything else, well, it means that their manufacturing is down. It means their construction is down. And that's a barometer of the entire state of their actual industry. To get around this, they're trying to dump it again. You know, that China, the largest metals market, is typically a significant net copper importer, meaning that not only do they use everything they produce, but they need even more than they produce, so they import it. But they note that weak local conditions have reversed global trade flows in recent months, weighing on prices. And remember, this is important. Metals are not the end products. They're materials to build other things. So when you have too much of them and they're just sitting around, it tends to be a sign that the manufacturing and construction industries could be having issues as well. And remember, the CCP, they tend to cover a lot of this up. They don't really give us a clear view of what's happening. We don't really know, hey, is the real estate industry really bouncing back? Is production really up in China? Or was it that they just had overcapacity, right? Too many electric vehicles, too many batteries, too many other things they built, sitting on their shelves going bad, so they're dumping them as well. This means that in China, they're not buying enough of what they've produced. It means that in China, they're not using the raw materials to produce more of what, again, they used to sell. And this means as well that as they have issues of overcapacity, they can't sell it in China, meaning the markets are down in China, meaning that the CCP may even be lying about issues of, hey, you know, exports are up, things are bouncing back, come invest in China. This is a sign, an indicator, really, of the overall economy. It is a downward trend, in other words. Now, Reuters said this last month. They said China's first cut to major short and long-term interest rates in 11 months drew a distinctively ho-hum reaction from the commodities that usually would be expected to be the biggest beneficiaries, meaning people thought it was going to bounce back and it didn't. But the first broad reduction in interest rates since last August sparked little buying interest in iron ore and copper, the two commodities viewed as having the biggest exposure to the major parts of China's economy, namely construction and manufacturing. And again, real estate, construction, about a third of their economy, and manufacturing, about a third of their economy, both of which are not showing signs of recovering, in other words. Now, what's also key here is that the CCP's overcapacity, its lack of, you know, demand inside of China, and its attempts to dump its excess goods on foreign markets, including the U.S., have caused something of like a chain reaction. Other countries not wanting Chinese, you know, dumping products and so on to damage their own industries are looking to increase domestic production. One of the reasons why the U.S. is looking to block Chinese steel and so on from entering the U.S. through Mexico. Now, this shift to domestic production in the United States and Europe and elsewhere and Australia, it then is also going back and hitting the Chinese economy even further. Again, it's not that these products aren't needed, right? The U.S. needs them, Europe needs them, other countries need them. It's that the CCP's products are not wanted. And so, again, part of the chain reaction to this, China has as having low consumption, right? People are not buying in China, meaning that their industries connected to it are not producing as they normally would, meaning they even more so need external markets. But because they overproduced and they can't sell them in China, they're lowering the prices to try to sell them outside of China, which is then causing a chain reaction where other countries are blocking that from taking place, meaning externally and internally. The CCP can't sell its products. And as other countries begin developing their industries to push back on this, well, that's a long-term thing. It means that American steel and American manufacturing is bouncing back. And as it bounces back, we will need even less of their goods on the surface level, not just on the materials level. Now, oil price said this, They said demand for critical minerals such as copper, cobalt, lithium, and nickel is soaring. These raw materials are used in a range of new technologies, from electric cars to wind turbines, which are becoming ever more important as the world moves toward a green transition, right? It says experts forecast that this trend is set to accelerate. The demand is there, in other words, with global production of cobalt, graphite, and lithium set to increase nearly sixfold between now and 2050, according to the World Bank. They state as well that while the extraction of these materials, right, the mining and so on, takes place all around the globe, China currently accounts for more than half of the world's refining of aluminum, lithium, and cobalt, and around 90% of that rare earth minerals, right, and other things, and 100% of that natural graphite. In addition, more than a third of the world's copper and nickel processing is carried out in China. And while China is in the lead for the critical minerals production, the nation is losing its dominance. For example, the United States and Australia have increased their production of rare earths from 2010 onwards, and most recently, Myanmar and Thailand have started to mine far more than before. And so, the CCP is losing its monopoly, meaning the economy is on a downward trend. Now, overall, the CCP's manufacturing industry, its real estate industry, these are having serious trouble. And as, again, other countries make it so they're no longer necessary to have them, well, that means the Chinese economy in the long run is going to be taking a dive. And look, of course, the decline in these industries is also likely impacting the CCP's control over metals, the materials needed to build buildings and manufacture products. And notably as well, as other countries look to move away from Chinese production of these raw materials, it means the regime's global monopoly of these industries is now beginning to break. Well, everyone, that's all for today. Thanks for watching. Let me know your thoughts on the steel industry and how China is impacting it. And as always, please take care of yourselves, stay informed, and stay free.